WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There may be a government funding bill. President-elect Trump said in a post on Truth Social that it lifts the debt ceiling. CBS's Scott McFarland with more on how Trump's debt ceiling demands have complicated things.
You'll lose some Republicans. You'll have to gain some Democrats. Maybe you'll lose some Democrats because Republicans appear to have surrendered to Donald Trump's interests, and that may cost some votes. All of this is fluid.
The suspect in the killing of United Healthcare CEO is back in New York facing not only state charges but federal charges now. CBS's Anna Schechter.
The Department of Justice made the decision to step in and file four new counts on top of the 11 counts already.
The Pentagon now says the U.S. troop strength in Syria has gone from 900 to 2,000. Spokesman Pat Ryder.
These forces, which augment the defeat ISIS mission, were there before the fall of the Assad regime.
On Wall Street, the Dow finished up 15 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the launch of a new rebate program with the Public Service Commission. According to a press release, the Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate will provide instant discounts for low- and moderate-income households to install energy-efficient appliances. Officials say the program will help lower the cost of those appliances upfront and help struggling families reduce their energy bills long-term. The program received nearly $75 million in funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the State Building Commission have announced the approval of $81 million of projects across the state. According to a press release, the approved funding does not include an additional $70 million for Universities of Wisconsin building projects, which were delayed by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The approved projects include things like maintenance and repair projects for the Department of Corrections and Department of Health Services and the rehabilitation of historic sites across the state. The Rice Lake City Council has placed a time frame on a project to turn a former nursing home in the downtown area into affordable housing. The council approved an amendment to the development agreement requiring Move-In Out, the Madison company overseeing the project, to present quarterly progress reports and assume ownership and demolition of the site after 5 years from the start date of construction. Move-In Out officials say the delays are related to legal hurdles and due diligence in pursuing tax credits for low-income housing. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced the first presumptive positive case of bird flu in a person in Barron County. The news comes just days after the county also saw the first positive test in a poultry flock. DHS officials are monitoring the farm workers who came into contact with the infected flock and may have been exposed to the highly contagious virus. Animal-to-human spread of the virus is not as contagious, but residents should check with their doctor if they show symptoms like a fever, eye infection, or muscle aches. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Wisconsin adds a wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After learning their top wide receiver, Will Pauling, is entering the transfer portal, the Wisconsin Badgers football team added a prospect from Ohio State, 6'3" Jaden Ballard, leaving the Buckeyes for the Badgers. NFL, the Packers begin 3 days of practice through the weekend as they host the New Orleans Saints on Monday night. College basketball, Marquette with a Big East Conference win over Butler, 80-70, Cam Jones with 23 points. The UW Green Bay Phoenix, losing at home to Division II Michigan Tech, 72-70. Head coach Doug Gottlieb, under fire for still hosting a national sports talk show, is now 2-11, losing their last eight in a row.
It doesn't feel good, but I think when you say rock bottom, it would lead you to believe that, like, Michigan Tech is some, like, schlummy team. Like, they got some really good players, they're very well coached, and they're on a win streak. And the big thing is, the hardest thing to teach in coaching is how to win.
As Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warning ending this evening with minor additional accumulations, staying cloudy overnight and a little breezy, low upper teens. Clearing tomorrow, high in the low 20s. Weekend, warmer, low 20s again Saturday, low 30s Sunday, partly sunny. It's 24 right now.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers stops by with a Friday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also our final day to win prizes in our Text to Win contest. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for The Todd Albaugh Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy, happy days to us all. You can be a part of this fine production, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got just PS on the board. Earl Ingram also on the board. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. On the books, but not on the board.
Right. Earl on the books, not on the board. We'll see if we can get him dialed in as well. Great to be back in the chair. I want to thank everybody who stepped in for me. Jimmy Koska, Tim Slecker, Matt Rothschild, Angela Lang. Thank you so much for your support and helping out and filling the chair since I've been gone. Truly appreciate every single one of you. Appreciate you as well. 855-75-CIVIC. So, I went to Puerto Rico.
You did?
I woke up yesterday in Puerto Rico. It was like mid-80s. Oh, it was beautiful.
Sounds glorious.
Breezy on the ocean. It was wonderful. Stayed in Old San Juan. What a show that is. I'm not a big cruise guy. Mm-hmm. I've been on one cruise in my life, and I just think the whole floating petri dish is a little weird to me.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like, one person gets sick, everyone. But anyway, Old San Juan, a big destination, as one could imagine, for the cruisers. And there were four cruise ships parked, and it was just a sea of people. It was literally... it was like people washing in and out, you know, like the tide.
Like the tide.
It was crazy. So it was kind of funny. We stayed in Old San Juan and we were next to the Coach store. And, you know, I'm not a big shopper. And but apparently the boaters, the cruisers are. Man,
they
there
are.
Was a line. There was a line outside a retail Coach store. I could not believe it.
Is it like a specialty Coach store? Or is it just a Coach store?
Just looked like a Coach store. It was just a store, you know? Okay. I guess maybe they had really good prices. I didn't walk in to see. Later on in the week, I was like, hey, baby, you know, there's no line. You want to go? She's also not a shopper.
Mm-hmm.
So we laughed at that a bit. But it was great to be. And, you know, the whole my wife had booked this trip some time ago. Steffi's a very adventurous type. And that was before the comments of the Republicans made about, you know, the floating pile of garbage.
So what's your assessment?
What a crock, man. Are you kidding me? So... listen, I totally understand. And we weren't just in Old San Juan. We went to Boquerón as well. I think I pronounced that right. On the west side of the island as well. A little kind of surfer community town versus like San Juan and Old San Juan. Much more developed and built up and certainly touristy, the Old San Juan area, definitely. But man, I mean, because it was, and probably because it was, very touristy, that place was spotless. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was not a piece of garbage anywhere at all. Now, they were literally, because it rains, you know, it sprinkles and, you know, downpour for a little bit and it goes on and gets sunny and humid again. It just kind of happens all the time. And they go through the season. But we had really great weather. We got caught in the rain drinking pina coladas once or twice. I like the song.
Lovely.
And, but then the sun would come back out and it'd dry out. And we're walking down near where the cruise ships come in, and there was a big public market down there. And there were workers, city workers, like literally sweeping and blowing the remainder of the water.
What?
They were sweeping the water in San Juan. I mean, this place was spotless, man. Uh-huh. What were they talking about? So we eventually we go on adventure, go on walkabout, and we get over to the east side of the island, probably about a 2.5 hour drive to get to our destination from San Juan. And we drove through some towns, and yeah, there were some, wasn't any worse that I could see from what we witnessed than driving anywhere around here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole thing is just rude. Also, beautiful people. I mean, there was a lot of beautiful men, women. I mean, there was a beautiful people on that island. Number one, they got a little more beautiful once we got there. And so... And super sweet, super nice. We had a trail guide. We went hiking. As mentioned, Steph is very adventurous and survived another one, baby. He didn't get me this time either. But we went into the rainforest, went hiking in the rainforest and jumping off the cliffs. Ooh. And climbing up the side of mud hills and sliding down the rock slides they formed in the water, swinging on the rope, you know, all the good stuff. And had an absolute blast. And our guide was great. And I believe he was recommended. My cousin had gone there recently, so I believe he was recommended for me. And great selection, great dude. Got to hang out, went had some dinner, drinks, lunch, and drinks after our adventure, and just kind of cracked a little bit about politics. You know, because I got to ask, because there's a lot of folks that from here, from the states, from the mainland, think, well, maybe Puerto Rico should become a state, and they get a couple of senators and get some input and all that. And I was like, well, maybe they'll want
representation, maybe for their taxation.
Maybe they'll want that. You know what I mean? And our guide was, after about a 10 or 15 minute conversation, basically said, no, I don't want that. I don't want that.
Did he give a reason?
They're very proud people.
Sure.
Independent, very independent. Got a lot of fight in them. Let's put it that way.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. And no, didn't want to be basically led around by the nose.
And but isn't that kind of what's happening now without representation?
But from their perspective, why not independence?
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know, that's the other thing. So it was a great conversation. Didn't get into the Republican or Democrat or immigration or any of that, or even some of the nasty things that some of the Republicans joke about that wonderful, beautiful island about. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of history, of course. Spain had it for 400 some years, and it's just the old city's all walled up, and there's a lot of fencing and walls around the residences as well. I mean, they got a bunker mentality to some degree. Mm-hmm. I guess if you've been taken over for hundreds of years,
that'll do it.
Everyone's trying to get a piece. Yeah, that'll do it. So it was a great time. Really, really enjoyed the trip. Really enjoyed the people. The weather was great, but the people were awesome. The food was good. A lot of rum. I'm more of a tequila summer guy, Scotch winter guy. But when you're down there, you gotta drink some rum. When in Rome. So it's great to be back. I am well rested. I kind of tried to stay away as much as I could from the news. And but some things broke through. And actually, I was keeping my phone off. And Steph had some of her friends were texting like, "Don't come back." In reference to the shooting in Madison, the school shooting, another school shooting. And I was like, damn, that sucks. It's all super close to home, obviously, and terribly tragic. These things continue to happen. And there's no, what's our legislative solution? Nope. Thoughts and prayers. And I looked it up. USA Today was my source on this. I couldn't quite figure it out. There are 488 mass shootings and 971 school shootings. So not all school shootings are mass shootings. Some of those got to be some crossover over there. But that's like over 9 mass shootings every week.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as a school shooting is concerned, now some folks don't get injured or don't get killed, but get injured and so forth. So it's not like necessarily mass death, but school shootings, according to, again, USA Today, 971.
Wow.
In the United States in 2024 so far. Mm-hmm. And we're almost done, so hopefully that'll be it. That's over 18 a week. And I'm like, is that even possible? So it is disturbing, certainly. And, you know, one of the things I've lamented about doing radio is having to talk about the school shootings. I mean, they're just, what do you say? What do you do? What's the comment? That sucks. You know, our condolences, thoughts and prayers. That doesn't work. I'd like to see some leadership on this continued issue. And there's all sorts of reasons why these things happen, but they're happening a whole lot more nowadays than they used to. And I think one of the big problems is, you know, access to the weapons. If you don't,
it's a lot harder to do a school shooting if you don't have the shooter.
You know, or if you don't have the gun. If you come to school with a pool noodle and you're going to like murder everybody with a pool noodle, good luck with that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So it's not even the shooter. It's the weapon. It's the access to the weapon and the capabilities of that weapon. And you know, the people, the parents that are surrounding them and the legislation that surrounds that. But just terrible circumstances. So certainly our heart goes out to everyone involved in that. And we talk about Madison, talk about Wisconsin, and here we go. So that was a reality check. Let's just put it that way. You know, out having fun, trying to, you know, hang out with the family and get some fun in the sun and adventure time and knowing that these things are going on. And it goes on. And here's the deal. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. So do we just do another checkbox? Okay, here it's Wisconsin's turn. You know, check the box, and next time it'll hopefully be somewhere else. I mean, is that, and then we just move on? It just seems like there should be more to be done in that regard. But so there we go. There's my conversation on the mass shootings, on school shootings. 488 mass shootings according to USA Today. And 971 cases of school shootings across the United States in 2024. And many of them having no victims or injuries, according to this source here at USA Today, was still certainly problematic. Over 9 mass shootings a week, over 18 school shootings. Wow. Crazy. So, and it happens here in Wisconsin. So, we're not immune to it, certainly. And I'm not going to get so cold and callous to not recognize when these things happen, especially in our backyard. It happens a lot. And people should react to it. People should do something about it. Those in power, those that have the legislative ability to address these problems, should offer something more than thoughts and prayers over and over again. Oh, it's not the time to talk about legislation. It's never the time.
It's never the time.
We gotta let the people mourn first. For what?
Mourn for...
And then wait till tomorrow, and it happens again. Wait till the next day, and it happens again. Wait till the following day, and it happens again and again and again. So sooner or later, we'll have to have something more than thoughts and prayers. But damn, making national... You know, I hate it when Wisconsin makes national news, because it's usually about something terrible.
Right. It's
like
not
that.
Usually about our booming cranberry crops and the best new cheese that's coming out.
It's usually about those kinds of things.
Yeah. Every once in a while, it's for sports, and that's nice.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad. I mean, it's kind of stereotypical. All those, you know, Wisconsin, that's all the Packer fans. Well, I'm a Lions fan. And I missed the game this week, and that kind of sucked. The Bills apparently was a good game, but, you know, my team lost. But perhaps a preview for a Super Bowl? Question mark. Oh, you know, never know. Never know. But if it's not like mass, if it's not school shootings or serial killers or bad governance, it's usually sports coming out of the national news from the state of Wisconsin. Folks, 855-752-4842. We're going to get into the news here. Robin Voss, Assembly Speaker from the great state of Wisconsin. Well, he's got an efficiency committee. Nice. And, of course, the Republicans, Trump blew up the deal. Now they have a new deal. We're going to dive into that as well. 855-752-4842.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy, and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Earl Ingram Jr. going to join us in just a little bit. In the meantime, we'll take your calls, 855-75-CIVIC. But before we do, and I know a lot of you folks are waiting, it's the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest here at Civic Media. This hour's word is frost.
Frost.
When I was in Puerto Rico, there was no frost on my window. Frost. And I came back today and there was frost all over my car. Frost. So download the Civic Media app. Find your favorite radio station. Use the text button at the bottom of the screen to send the keyword frost for your chance to win this statewide contest. I believe this is a this gift today will be cash.
Indeed.
Cash is king. So today you will win some cash. And then, of course, you are entered into a chance to win some of our great prizes, espresso machines and robot vacuums and of the like. Of course, some stays over at the Chula Vista in the Dells. I think that was given away earlier today. But right now, text the word frost for your chance to win the statewide contest. Frost, not frosty, frost, F-R-O-S-T, frost. All right, 855-752-4842. I have some other topics I want to get to, but we did talk about the Madison shooting briefly, and some folks have some comments on that. And since I've been out of Dodge for a minute, let's hear what people have to say. Certainly appreciate it. Greg from Waukesha, you're up. Welcome, Greg. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. I, too, am saddened by the school shootings in Madison. It was a dark day in Wisconsin that day. And I think, though, it has less to do with guns and more to do with mental health, personally. I've been beating this drum for a while. Mm-hmm. Our schools need better mental health education. When I was in school, I wasn't taught at all about how to stay, you know, mentally healthy or, you know, anything like that. And counseling needs to be more frost, right?
Yeah.
Available. But I just think that I kind of do agree with the, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people kind of analogy that is thrown out. So that's all I wanted to say. And welcome back. And story about the snow.
Well, hey, thank you, Greg. Appreciate the comments and the nice words. I certainly mental health. I mean, there is, I think, a lack of awareness about it. And I don't know, like when do kids, when you start talking about, you know, mindfulness and mental health with children? And I don't remember specifically getting into those kinds of conversations in our health class or whatnot. But I think, you know, growing up as a kid who didn't do the drills, you know, the shooter drills, we had the nuke drills, you know, go and, you know, put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye, you know, hunker down outside the locker or under your desk because the Russians or someone's going to put a nuclear blast. I mean, those memories, they stick with you. I think to some degree, like the kids today, like my kids went through, you know, shooter drills. So absolutely mental health is a problem. Not a problem. It's a thing. And being addressing the inequities and challenges we have in mental health with children, because of course, you know, some kids you're gonna have something perhaps physically, but you also have, you know, nature nurture. You know, you come from, you know, some situations where it's not supportive and challenging with your parental, you know, situation or what your home life is like. Those things can certainly be a burden on young kids, and no question about it. And so what do we do as a society through our public education to address that? You know, I'm not the teacher. I think maybe Dr. Tim Slecker would be the one to maybe help address some of those kinds of things. The other part of that, though, Greg, is my pool noodle analogy. I mean, you could be mad as hell. You could have a mental breakdown, or you could just be, you know, a murderous person. But if you don't have access to those kinds of weapons, the result is going to not be the same. You know what I'm saying? You could go into that school with that big blue pool noodle, the hole in the middle of it, and swing furiously at the guard at the front, at the principals in the office, at your fellow students in study hall, and no one's going to die. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, those things can be addressed, but it comes down to the weapons and the access to the weapons. That's my main concern. Let's see. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it seems that this young girl may have been getting groomed by some 20-year-old from California, that apparently they've confiscated all that guy's weapons, but apparently he had some pact with her that he was going to go out and shoot something up as well. And it just seems that she should not have had access to those firearms, because no 15-year-old should have ready access to firearms. Is just sad, because like you just said, I mean, if she hadn't had access to those firearms, she wouldn't have been able to kill anybody.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that she was vulnerable, and it sounds to me like this guy encouraged her to do this, and maybe she was looking out but for some reason, that did her parents not monitor at all to see what she was doing on this kind of thing?
Well, it sounded like from the reporting that there was a lot of back and forth with the parents. They're married, divorced. I mean, it sounds like a very hectic and challenging childhood in that degree. But that doesn't excuse it, of course. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even as such, I didn't get the impression from the reporting that there was any sort of physical abuse. Now, the mental anxiety of having to deal with, you know, your parents breaking up and getting back together multiple times, and according to the reporting I read, the judge dressed down the parents at their last divorce, you know, kind of saying, hey, don't do this again. There's obviously a thing here. So to be a child in that environment, it certainly got to be tough. But, you know, there's lots of tough environments that children live through where they don't engage in that kind of behavior. And the grooming thing on the California, yeah, that's sick and wrong and twisted. And if that were to be the case, certainly those folks or that dude should be face justice as well. 855-752-4842. The Republicans claim they got a deal for a continuing resolution to keep the government open. Unfortunately, it's not the deal that they cut with the Dems. So what's that going to look like? We'll get to that. Earl Ingram going to join us as well and more of your calls. And remember, text the keyword frost. It's frost for your chance to win our statewide contest. Come back with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reporting a growing positivity rate for norovirus cases. According to health officials, the highly contagious virus had a positive test rate of about 19% through the last week of November. That total was nearly 10% higher than the positive rate at the beginning of November. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus had also reported an outbreak of the virus during that time frame. The virus is commonly referred to as the stomach flu, and symptoms could include vomiting and diarrhea. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the 2024 open water muskie fishing season is nearly over. According to a press release, the season will close statewide on December 31st, and after that date, muskie can no longer be targeted through the ice at any time. The muskie season will reopen in 2025 on May 3rd in the southern zone and May 24th in the northern zone. Anglers looking to take advantage of the season's final weeks should check the DNR's fishing regulations and quality waters page for nearby opportunities. A Chippewa Falls nonprofit is expected to purchase a local motel and convert it into small, efficient apartments. Hope Village is set to close on the purchase agreement for the Indian Head Motel in January after the Chippewa Falls Plan Commission approved a conditional use permit to circumvent a minimum size requirement in the zoning code. The nonprofit is planning to use about 25 of the units at the motel for the efficiency apartments. After taking ownership of the property, Hope Village plans to begin renovations of the site this spring. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced over $9 million in funding for the Bloomer Telephone Company to improve broadband access in Chippewa and Dunn counties. According to a press release, about half of that funding will be awarded as a loan and the other half will be awarded as a grant. The company plans to use the funding to install a fiber network that will help connect over 1,200 residents and 73 farms to reliable high-speed internet. The funding comes from the fifth round of the federal agency's Reconnect program. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Peaky Blinders, who are anxiously awaiting the feature film, will be happy to know that principal photography is done. The film is called The Immortal Man, and Cillian Murphy is back in the lead role as Tommy Shelby. Peaky Blinders is the story of post-World War I gangsters in Birmingham. The show ran for six seasons between 2013 and 2022 on the BBC and Netflix. Fans of the 28 Days franchise will be happy to know that 28 Days Later will finally be available to stream. The film has been curiously absent from streaming platforms, which is not good for people who want to catch up before the release of 28 Years Later. The second installment, 28 Weeks Later, is available to stream, but Danny Boyle's first film of the franchise has been offline since early 2024 after being purchased by Sony. The film is now available to stream as of December 18th. 28 Years Later is set to hit theaters in June of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warning ending this evening with minor additional accumulations. Staying cloudy overnight and a little breezy, low upper teens. Clearing tomorrow, high in the low 20s. Weekend, warmer. Low 20s again Saturday, low 30s Sunday. Partly sunny. It's 24 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
As all those last-minute shoppers cram up the roads and the stores, we'll ask Friday what we need to do to keep it the most wonderful time of the year.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Republicans say they got a plan to avert a government shutdown that does not include accepting the deal that was negotiated by Speaker Johnson and the Democrats. And now they're going to come up with their own thing. I will have an update on that as well. And don't forget, the keyword for your chance to win in our statewide contest, the keyword you need to text is Frost. Download the Civic Media app. Find our station. Use the text button at the bottom and text the keyword Frost for your chance to win our statewide contest. It goes on until, at least today, till 5 o'clock. So you get another 25 minutes to engage. Text Frost. We got some texters out there besides those playing our game. James from Madison. Hey, Dom. This is James from Madison. As a parent of kids at ALCS, this is where the shooting occurred, I want to know how many kids have to go through traumatic life-changing incidents before things change. How many kids have to die before we get some common sense gun laws? Yeah, James, I don't know, man. It's sorry for, obviously, for your community having to go through this, and it just seems like everyone at some point has to deal with this in some regard. We're the lawmakers, right? If you're in Madison, you know, you're represented by Dems, and Dems would be probably, from my understanding of knowing the Dems and being a part with the Dems, be happy to engage in some common sense gun safety regulation. That's a no-brainer. The problem is even with a 9mm, in my understanding, this was done with a 9mm. That's not an outrageous weapon. It's not like in my opinion, it's certainly different from an AR-15, you know, weapons of war. I mean, 9mm are certainly different from rifles, a pistol. That being said, there can be challenges, or at least different amounts of ammunition that weapon can hold, and things like that can be regulated. I don't have an answer for you, James, and that's why it's very difficult to continue to have these conversations, because I don't have the answer for you. And I hate saying that. I know that's not what you want to hear. I'm also not in charge of legislation and study on the topic. You know what I mean? It's like, can we even have government funding of gun violence in this country? I mean, the gun lobby has been very strong in this regard. I think we have some challenges there that need to be addressed. The influence peddling certainly is a thing. But, you know, if someone takes a six shooter and shoots somebody, you know, you're not going to outlaw a revolver, right? That's not going to happen. People have the right to self-defense. In these kinds of the shooting that just occurred with a pistol, I find more challenging, because it's easy to say, yeah, you know, it's an AR-15. It's a weapon of war. It's got a, how many, you know, shots. I know there's proper terms for clips versus whatever. Anyway, so a gun that shoots lots and lots of bullets, a 30 round banana clip, you know what I'm saying? Seems a little extreme. But that's not the case here. So this becomes even more difficult to address. Education is certainly a thing. Mental health support for parents and for children is certainly a thing. But it happens all too often. 971 school shootings so far in 2024, according to the Gun Violence America, GVA, 488 mass shootings. And this one, the shooting in Madison at the ALCS, does not qualify as a mass shooting. This is a school shooting. So again, James, sorry about everything that your kids and your community there have to deal with, and you know, we got to come together, come up with some solutions, and certainly not legislation, as Republicans will tell you all too often, will not address every single thing. But having the conversations and engaging in common sense gun safety legislation is always a good thing. 855-752-4842. Tom from LA, you are up. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Well, first, Dominic, it's good to have you back.
Thank you, brother.
Chair.
Thanks, man.
I'm glad that you're back. Second, you know the story about the emperor that has no clothes?
Mm-hmm.
the American people still think that Donald Trump is wearing clothes, I think, is what's part of the issue. And that's why he's going back into office. But second, the bottom line on every single issue that we talk about every single day is money in politics. And lobbyists in politics. And I really hope that the American people out there, the listeners of the show, will stop and tell their friends, tell their family when they're doing Christmas this year, when they're doing Thanksgiving, how they do it at the table. You know what? Say, do you think it's really great that our politicians are bribed by the billionaire class? Do you really think that money in politics is a good thing? Because I think we would find some common ground in that area. And right now we are an oligarch. An oligarch means basically that the American people want one thing. More than half the American people want a Medicare for all system, maybe 70% or even more. People want gun legislation or gun safety. But you know what? We can't get any of the things that we, the people, want because of the billionaire class, because of the donors, because of money. And if anyone does not know the Citizens United case, please Google it. Go and see what happened 20 years ago on the conservative Supreme Court, because that's what happened. That's when all of this, if you really look at even the gun issue, around 20 years ago when we had Citizens United, these people are all bought off. And if they're not bought off, what they do is they might vote a certain way, and then all of a sudden they get commercial after commercial about them, you know, wanting to control people's lives, control their guns. So therefore, the politician.
Well, it doesn't even matter, though. When you have that kind of money, and as we've seen with these ads that have come out, I mean, there is a lack of knowledge, purposeful misleading, disinformation that's just gets spewed out there over and over and over and over again, man. I mean, there's no question, Tom, and love your passion, man, and you're absolutely right. The money in politics is the root of all evil, quote unquote. That we have to deal with. And, you know, hey, money is speech. Okay, if money is speech, so what? Speech can still be regulated. You know what I'm saying? Even if you accept the fact that money is speech, doesn't mean it can't be regulated. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater, right? There's regulation that goes along with things. Corporations are people. I don't know about that. But you can make the argument that money is speech, but speech can still be regulated. I don't know how this is just an unlimited free-for-all. And the billionaires, and with Elon Musk, and we're tweeting a bunch of times saying, "Oh, we can't do this continuing resolution that was negotiated with the Dems and the Republicans because I don't like it." And so he hammers on it, and Trump jumps on it. Well, who's pulling those strings? Number one, right? Who's leading who in this little love fest? I'm interested to know, because neither of them at this point are actually in government. So. You know, it's one thing for the billionaire class to have access and give all the money to the politicians, but if the billionaires become the politicians, then what do? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's a messy, nasty situation that we have here. And it can be and should be regulated. But the Dems, they got to get control. You got to get control. And right now that ain't happening. And, you know, it's not even that the billionaire class are giving the money. Of course they are. Megan Dawn gave a statistic of the money given to the top wealthiest families giving to Harris versus Trump. It was like 1-5 to 1 or something like that. They're most of them going to Trump. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, certainly it's bad enough when our side gets into it. But you also can't go into elections with one arm tied behind your back. The rules are the rules, right? So you got to play by whatever the rules may be. And certainly folks like to, you know, push the limits on whatever rules are already there. But to limit the ability for the billionaire class to influence the elections to the way they do is absolutely able to be done if the will of the people, if the people have the will to do it. And I apparently they don't right now. And there's like a bunch of angry, mad people in this country that are being led around by Donald Trump because he allows them, gives them reason for their angst. And now the policies that I would put forth from the Republicans are going to not help those very people with the problems that they have. And that's a big, big problem. I think ultimately, if we go down this road, that will come back to bite the Republicans. But in the meantime, we got to continue to live through the chaos. And that's what people want. If you want people to blow it up and start it all over, hey, we got the greatest democracy the world has ever seen. Let's tear this stuff down and try it over. and I get, again, you know, there certainly is room for efficiencies. No doubt about it, man. Just on like some of the aging computer systems, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there are some things that can be done, and we talked about continuous improvement. One of the things when I went in grad school, that was a big thing back then, continuous improvement. Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, yes, always there are opportunities for folks to find easier ways to distribute the benefits of governance, to work for the will of the people. That can be done. But the people have to have a will to do it. And the people have to identify and then coalesce around what is it that we, the people, want. And I think too often, too much of what their wants are or fed to them by folks like Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Well, here's what you want. You know, number one, those people are bad over there, and I'm the only one going to can fix it. And here's what you want. And even right now, we have, you know, in the Republican House, a challenge right now. Donald Trump is pitting Republicans against Republicans, and you know it doesn't seem very, I don't know, cohesive. You thought they had problems getting legislation done before. They're going to have real problems getting things done now with the tightest margin ever. I mean, I don't know. The Republicans think they won some sort of landslide. That ain't the case. And they're certainly going to be, seemingly are going to be overplaying their hand. We'll get into some of the details of this new plan here shortly. But I don't want to keep our friend waiting, Earl Ingram Jr. from the Earl Ingram Show. You can check his fine production out on the Civic Media Radio Network Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Hey, Earl, thanks for joining me, man. Good to see you.
It's good to see you, man. But I just wanted to say, man, you know, I was thinking the other day, hey, man, I'm elderly. and so I sat down in the chair, and it was about, I don't know, it might have been about 2:30. I know I got a appointment with Dominic. And here I am.
Oh, so anyway, good morning, girl.
I guess I am elderly.
Yeah.
Can I blame it on being elderly?
Sure,
or
man.
Or can I blame it on getting up at 4 o'clock every morning?
You know, I blame the 4 o'clock, man. Because if I get up at 4 o'clock every morning, I'm gonna need a nap in the afternoon too, man. It's just to keep it going. A hardest working man in the radio business, Earl Ingram Jr. Hey, thanks for joining me, man.
Man, thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. I want to get your take here quickly. So before we move on to some other topics, the Madison school shooting. James from Madison, apparently his family attends school there. Wondering, you know, what can we do? What are we gonna do? And this wasn't, you know, Earl, to my understanding, it wasn't an AR-15, a weapon of war per se. It was a 9mm. You know, I got a 9mm. I don't think these are weapons of war, quote unquote. What's your take on the most recent?
Here's my take.
Yeah.
Here's my take. America makes up 4% of the global population. We have more shootings than the rest of the entire world combined. So clearly, too many guns. And number two, why would you allow your 15-year-old child access to your guns? I don't know. I don't own guns. But it clearly is a legitimate question. I don't care if they're responsible. They're minors. Why would you leave those weapons in the sight of children?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a way to prevent some of this, man. Use some common sense.
Yeah, lock them up. And more information to come out on this case. Certainly, certainly tragic. Come back with us, Earl Ingram Jr., the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air. Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. The word of the day for our contest, our grown-up gift list text-to-win contest, is frost. And I see you folks playing it. I see the text coming in, but you got to spell it right. Frost.
That is true.
F-R-O-S-T. I know someone's like, you know, Mixed a couple of letters up. Do it again. You got to text it in. Text it in. Fraud. Well, you know, sometimes the phone, you know,
sometimes it thinks it knows better than you. Sometimes those letters are just too close together.
So text the word frost for your chance to win. We got some cash giveaways going on in our statewide contest. And then you're entered to win the grand prizes. We have 8 grand prizes, a couple of robot vacuums, humidifier, espresso machines, snowblower. Could use that today. And a luggage set. Hell, I could have used that yesterday.
You could have used
that last week. So text the word frost for your chance to win. If you think you spelled it wrong, do it again. F-R-O-S-T. Earl Ingram Jr., host of the Earl Ingram Show, right here on the Civic Media Network, joining me for the rest of the show today. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, Earl. The school shooting, and we had someone on here. Let me see if I can find someone text in here. I think it was Jim from Appleton.
Indeed.
You have it in front of you, Jess?
I
what
do.
Did Jim say?
As has been reported on your network, they are still trying to track where she got the guns. Please stop blaming her parents.
My understanding from some of the reporting was that she actually went shooting with her father, and that there were some comments about how dumb he was, quote unquote, that she got the guns from him somehow, some way. So Jim, good point. We don't know that. I guess that was my point to say, this information is still going to come out, but obviously she got access somewhere. Earl, the numbers I looked up today we're going to address this here topically, I guess, perhaps for this one more segment. Then we're going to move on because we can do this all day. Earl, you know how many mass shootings took place in 2024 so far?
No.
488. 488. Now, I divide that by 52 weeks. I did a little math prior to the show. That's over 9 a week. in mass shootings. Now, school shootings, according, again, to the Gun Violence America, GVA, they put school shootings at. Now, these are, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that people were killed, all right, in these school shootings. GVA has reported 971 cases of school shootings across the United States in 2024, with many of them having no victims or injuries. That seems like a lot, Earl. I mean, it is commonplace. And at that number, that's like 18 a week. So we got 9 mass shootings a week plus. We got 18 school shooting plus. I mean, it seems almost untrue that those numbers are that high.
Dominic, it is true. And that's and therein lies the issue. I don't know how many people are in India or China, but I think each one of them outnumber the Americans by quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how many billion people they have, but they don't even compare with the amount of killings that we have in this nation. And I don't know why people can't put those two things together. More guns than we have people in America.
Right.
I said this many times, man. I don't own a gun. At 70 years old, I'm not opposed to people owning guns. But my father never had guns in the house. 12 siblings. None of us own guns. None of our children own guns. For heaven's sakes, 60% of the American people don't own guns. So why is it that 40% of the people can control the narrative about guns? This is a majority rules society. Why is that not the case, Dominic, when it comes to guns and the issues with guns? Those 60% of us who are in the majority should not be pushed to the background.
Yeah.
When we talk about common sense gun laws, when we talk about, the gun show loopholes,
mm-hmm.
when we talk about the fact that in the neighborhood where I live, boys 12, 13, 14 years old have access to automatic weapons and are killing people with impunity. It is more dangerous to live in the streets of Black communities than it is to live in a war zone. When are we going to address those issues and stop playing around with the realities of what's at the root of this, man? Nobody's saying you can't have guns to go hunt. Nobody's saying you can't have guns if you feel you need them to protect yourself. Nobody's opposed to that. But for heaven's sakes, Dominic, I'm going to argue with you ad nauseum when you tell me that I've got 45 guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. Why is that legal? No, come on, man. AR-15s, you've got 30 of them. You're one guy. Those things have to be addressed. They're sensical issues. And to address these issues, it's going to take people who look at this thing the right way and not just by, well, the Constitution says, everybody has a right to arm themselves. Oh, okay.
Everybody gets a tank, Earl. Everyone gets a battlefield nuke. And of course, that's asinine. And it's apparently, Earl, unfortunately, it's not the rage that people feel when kids are shot up in school by other kids. That's not it. Because if that was a catalyst for change, we'd have change right now. Yeah. Hell, we'd have had change after Sandy Hook or Columbine. We don't. That is Earl Ingram Jr. Jess P.S. is on the board. I am Dom Salvia of the Dom Salvia Show. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. We're going to jump into the governance of the Republicans nationally and their efforts to keep the government open on the other side.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss Elon Musk's sinking of the latest bipartisan budget deal and the impact it will have on you with my regular co-host, Sandy Williams.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers have come up with a new government funding bill. President-elect Trump says it will suspend the debt ceiling. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The indication is they found something that they believe is palatable with President-elect Trump, with perhaps his biggest surrogate right now, Elon Musk, and all those who are aligned with Trump and Musk.
Luigi Mangione is back in New York and now faces federal charges in the death of United Healthcare CEO, legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
In the federal system, contrary to what a lot of people believe, we have the federal death penalty. In New York, the death penalty was not on the table in terms of punishment.
The Fulton County DA, Fonnie Willis, was removed today from the Georgian election interference case against Trump. Caitlin Huey Burns is in West Palm Beach.
This is a huge win for the Trump team, because remember, this was the last remaining criminal case against Donald Trump.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.